When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back. Tears for Fears, starting things off. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We're back. We're in good moods today, so don't worry about it, everybody. This is going to be a good one. Got a couple of interesting things to talk about. Thanks, Tears for Fears. Song from the Big Chair. Great song. Everybody wants to rule the world. Isn't that the truth? Not me. Mm-mm. I don't care. Want to hear the 9 network TV shows that the AARP is most excited to watch?
Boy, do
just
I.
Just for fun. Night Court, a new Night Court. You know, they do mm-hmm. Night Court's back again.
Yeah.
On NBC. Night Court, John Larroquette, a couple of the original cast members, and it's a hit. People love it. People mm-hmm. are going over to network television to watch Night Court on NBC. I would imagine AARP type people are going over.
Mm-hmm.
They like America's Got Talent, which so do I sometimes.
Yeah.
Haven't watched it in a long time. They like a show called Wild Cards on the CW. Don't really know it. I never even heard of that one.
Let me see. I'll look it up.
How about Extended Family? John Cryer's in that.
Yeah.
John Cryer, I've seen a commercial for it. That's not something I would watch. We Are Family on Fox, Anthony Anderson and his mother,
mm-hmm.
Mama, Doris Bowman, host a high-concept musical game show in which non-celebrities perform duets with their famous relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Is this real? Who remain hidden? Is that Lady Gaga's sister? Travis Kelce's uncle? Beyonce's second cousin? The studio audience is comprised of 100 contestants who are working just as hard as you are at home to decipher the clues and figure out who's performing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's like famous people's brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
How about The Floor? Rob Lowe's hosting The Floor on Fox,
mm-hmm.
another kind of game show.
Game show, yeah.
Finding Your Roots. People love this, Finding Your Roots on PBS.
Okay.
It's like a celebrity sitting. This is a pretty good show. It's like a genealogy show
mm-hmm.
hosted by Henry Louis Gates and he'll basically tell every celebrity that they're somehow involved with slavery or Nazis.
Oh,
those
yeah,
are the
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
He eventually gets to, you've had somebody in your family involved in slavery, whether they were slave owners or slaves themselves, or somebody involved in Nazis, somehow Nazis.
It's always an interesting reveal.
I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah.
anyway, The Bachelor, they like The Bachelor, of course, on ABC.
Okay.
Funny Women on PBS this month. Okay, PBS. And that's AARP. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the shows that I was just curious as to what people watch on network television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like it's becoming more and more a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Just the way it just works. Because I sometimes will go over to watch like America's Got Talent or something because I just don't even know how to use my remote much anymore. You know, unless I'm over at the Netflixes and the Hulus. If I go to like my regular TV, cable, whatever cable I have, Spectrum, I believe. And I go to the Spectrum thing. I go to ABC
mm-hmm.
and I see America's Got Talent and I'll start watching it. And some of the performers are interesting, I guess. But then the commercials, it's like real commercials. And I just feel we're all being so trained to not be commercials are not a thing anymore. And so it's wild to watch like regular TV. I don't know how much longer it's going to last before we're completely gone out of network.
Cable
like, and then there's like the Kate, like the way the sitcoms work and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, these beats are different. Mm-hmm. Like we all used to like this type of stuff in 1988, but I mean, our minds are trained to for different.
Yeah, we're TikTokers.
Yeah,
now.
Like you know, we don't like
Vine now.
Yeah, all Vine.
It's
what's
fat.
That?
That
was 20 years ago.
I know, but it started that.
But
like,
I get what
quick.
You're saying. Yeah. It's anyway,
interesting. So. You're saying that I'm actually watching a show right now called Reboot, and it's about show that they reboot.
I know,
but the whole show is about the dichotomy of her dad wrote the original, she's rewriting it. And he hires
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville.
I know. You know what?
It's a good show.
I know, but they canceled it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I know. Bummer. I watched a couple of episodes and I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that show Reboot because I kind of liked it too. And I thought it was an interesting idea. You know, they're taking some old show from the 80s and getting them all back together, the cast members. That show was loosely pitched to us about Chelsea Lately.
Yeah.
A similar type of show. They were like, we're going to make a TV show about getting you guys all back together. It would be scripted, of course, but it was a good idea. But then that show had already been done. But it was like, because all you guys have gone different directions and you know, none of you want to. The joke would be none of you really want to come back, but you're all, you know, you're down. Some of you are down and out and some of you want to come back. Some of you don't. And now herein lies the joke.
How long ago was that?
About 2 years ago.
Was that post-Chewy, pre-Chewy, before his
post-Chewy. Chewy, as a matter of fact, that's where it began.
Ah, okay.
That's where the show would begin. At least that was the pitch. I forget who, maybe it was Brad, I guess. Uh-huh. Somebody was pitching it to me. Like, it would begin with Chewy's funeral.
Yeah.
And, like, we need to get back together, and that would be the show. Yeah. Good idea. I mean, not that anybody would care, but good idea.
I think it's interesting, too, because people, you can appease all sides, right? You can, when you make the show about the kind of tension between the old world and the new world, younger people, older, whatever you want to call it, red, blue, left, or whatever it is, whatever the world is, it's a good way to say, Both your ideology and the other one are both the main character.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're all making fun of everybody here.
Yeah, that would be the hope. But anyway, we thought about that, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, it's a weird world now because just like financially, and this is what I wanted to bring up in this episode just for fun, because to be perfectly honest with everybody, we're stacking some episodes here because I'm going on, my daughter's on spring break and I got to go. We're going to go see my parents. My parents still going. Yeah. If you guys are new listeners, maybe you've come over, you know, to hate on us from some of the places where, you know, I got to get out. I got to get out of the Reddit world, Alex. I'm in the Reddit world. Too much.
I could have told you that.
And now they're talking about us a lot over there. Like, oh, we didn't want this. We're just having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're coming over from like the Reddit world and coming over to this, maybe you're new to it. And so my daughter's spring break and I got to go. My parents are still going.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and dad still going strong.
Yeah.
So we got to go out to Myrtle Beach on Saturday, fly out to Myrtle Beach for a few days, and then we're going up to like the Boston area outside of Boston for
Beverly,
Massachusetts. We'll be staying in Salem. Mm-hmm. Some people send me some fun things to do there. And then I will drive from to the shows, leave my wife and daughter in the hotel room, do my shows, head back.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming with me to the Beverly shows. You guys should too. Beverly, off Cabot Comedy Club. I love it there.
Mm-hmm.
This will be my second time doing it. So come to those shows if you live in that area. And then after that, why not promote while we're at it, Alex?
Yeah.
And then after that, we head over to Detroit, House of Comedy in Detroit. Then I have Atlanta, one show only, Wednesday in Atlanta at the Punchline, which you guys always come to check that out. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, I go over to a place I've never been before, the Comedy Zone in Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
May
Comedy
17th
Zone.
And 18th.
May 18th. And then I have my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then post-birthday, I head to Stand Up Live in Phoenix,
Arizona. May 23rd.
May 23rd, Wednesday night. And that's it. And then a little summer break couple of shows with Heather here and there, but for the most part, summer break and then back at it. Not summer break from the podcast. People were writing me going, wait a minute, you're taking months off from the podcast? No, we're not. We're not taking months off the podcast. We were still delivering it. Just a couple of months off from the road because a lot of comedians take off in the summer just because it's not the best time to do it. And I might add a few. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about that. And I just wanted to give you guys a quick synopsis if you are new to this. This is another thing Alex and I will be doing. We're doing it over at Patreon for the next couple of days, telling our origin stories, Alex. You know, our origin story. Mm-hmm. And the origin story of this podcast, many of you know, and you've heard it a million times. But just to cover some ground here, we're going to quickly tell the origin story of this podcast. Because now it's 7 years.
Yeah.
And we almost, right?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, or is it six? I forget. Anyway, it's some 500-something episodes in or something like that. And we're doing a lot of them.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, who knows? You know, we don't know. This is like every podcast. You take a shot, and we just came from doing a Patreon episode. We're doing two in a row here, and we were just fucking around on Patreon saying, we'll talk about like the early days of LA, when we got here, when Alex got here, why we got here, how we got here, and all that. And it was interesting because it was almost like I was interviewing Alex. And then I thought to myself, well, that's why sometimes it's just me screaming about Reddit pages and shit like that because we don't have guests on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Now it's difficult to get guests and have guests. That's true. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of good because you kind of let them do all the work. You know what I mean? Like I could have a guest in here and go, so tell me about yourself. And they'll start rattling off some boring story. But we don't do that. Mm-hmm. So we have to come up with shit. So that's why when some of you guys are like, it's boring hearing about the best chicken fingers. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because we have to, because we don't have, hey, you want it real boring? I'll get a couple of guests in here, bore the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. What about their story?
Yeah.
Well, you know, who knows what they
have to say. You think Marmalstein's origin story is fun? We're doing it.
I'll get him in here tomorrow with Mar.
I love Steve.
And actually, Steve's got a good origin story. So, I just talked to Steve, actually. He's got a pretty interesting thing going on. And I won't talk about it because I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
He wrote this thing for Netflix. And, you know, like on paper, it sounds really stupid, but he did a great, he sent me a clip from it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to happen. Anyway, enough about that.
If it does, we should bring him on. And
we will. We will. Anyway, so we'll have fun with that. But what I wanted to talk about, at the risk of boring you to death, is just a little bit about the origin of this podcast for no other reason than we're just killing time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I felt like on Tuesday's episode, I was screaming too much about people's comments about my daughter's diaper. So now I'm going to steer clear, Alex, of that kind of stuff. And we're just going to talk about how this all began. Because I feel like we had a lot of new listeners because they're coming over here just to shit on us. And they'll leave next week. But while they're here looking for ways to shit on us, we'll give them something to shit on.
Yeah.
So here goes. We started, I don't even know how or why. It was a thing called Comedy Pop-Up. And the other reason why this is fresh in my mind is because I had an opening act in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Who was from that world.
From
and he's
studio.
Like, remember, I worked on a podcast over in that Comedy Pop-Up Studios too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, vaguely remember that. So anyway, this was a guy who used to host these open mic shows around L.A. Mm-hmm. And he used me a lot on his shows.
Well, he hosted real shows. I mean,
real shows.
He had a pretty crazy email list, honestly.
Yeah. I don't want to get too deep into like comedy world and lose you guys, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway,
he
did shows around L.A. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. He had me on his shows a lot. And he was a nice guy. I don't know what became of him. He's like in Boston now. So I'm out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Finance, I think.
Or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, at one point he says to me, he goes, I'm thinking about starting a podcast company. And at this point, podcasting wasn't kind of what it is today. Mm-hmm. It's almost become a little more legitimate than it used to be.
Yeah.
We all knew the jokes back then. I was like, everybody's got a podcast. My mom's got a podcast. And mm-hmm. still, there was still a little bit of that. But also now people are like, oh, yeah, because you hear the stories about Joe Rogan and Call Her Daddy mm-hmm. and all. People making deals, people making money at it. And you're like, oh, okay. And people listen.
Yeah.
You know, who knew? I mean, people love them, man. They fucking love them. Mm-hmm. Podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got a favorite one now. Or two or five or whatever. Everybody listens to them. People seem to listen at work. They're always like, I listen at work. I guess nobody's doing anything important anymore. They could just have something playing in their ears without having to. Mm-hmm. I thought at work you had to like mm-hmm. listen to shit going on around you, but I guess not anymore.
Yeah.
You just sit there at a computer with me in your ears talking about chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, or cleaning up or driving or whatever, however you fucking listen, congratulations. But it's a wild new world, thank God. And not that newish anymore, honestly. Mm-hmm. Been around a bit. So he said he was starting it, and I was like, yeah, I'll let you know. At this point, I was like, I was of the belief that podcasts are done. Yeah. You know, there's too many of them. Nobody's mm-hmm. interested. And
you told me the first day I met you, you said, I think I'm doing this too late.
Right.
You told me
we're going to get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started to do Juicy Scoop very early on. Heather started doing Juicy Scoop because to be perfectly honest with you, and I know we've done all this before, but just bear with us if you guys are listeners since day one. This was all because shit was I remember ending Chelsea Lately.
Mm-hmm.
We ended, and most of us, all of us kind of were like, at that point, we were like, it was a good run. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us were like, oh my God, this is bad. We got to keep this going. We were all kind of like, all right, we did it. We enjoyed it a lot. All of us loved that job, but we're done with it. You know, we're done with it. Chelsea was done, so we were like, we're good.
Yeah.
It ran its course, and most of us were like, we'll go on to do other things and better things and whoever. And I don't know how long it took, months maybe, or years perhaps, but the reality began to set in where this shit hit shows like that one
mm-hmm.
don't come along very often. And you could see it. Hey, fucking go back to Gilligan's Island or any show, mm-hmm. Brady Bunch, any show you watched in your youth. And see how many hit shows those people had after those shows ended. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
uh-huh.
fucking poor Bob Denver, like was still had ran around to comic book conventions, still dressed like Gilligan till the day he died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. there was no other character.
Yes.
He didn't do anything else. He uh-huh. was Gilligan from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Brady, still Greg Brady and blah, blah, blah. And on and on and on. There's one gal who was on Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh,
I forget who she played on Beverly Hillbillies. But in Beverly Hillbillies, she was 22 and she dressed like, in short shorts and her hair in pigtails and mm-hmm. a shirt cropped up around her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like 85. Maybe she's died since, but she'd still go to these signings dressed like that.
Could that be Donna Douglas?
I mean, who knows? I don't even know. But I remember her still like dressing like this character.
This is funny. I mean, these people's headshots are in black and white.
Well, of course. This is from that show. But anyway, so I'm saying that like getting a hit show is a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that reality set in about 2 years out of Chelsea Lately that we're like, oh, shit. Like, we're not going to get something like that again. Some people did. You know, like Fortune's doing fine and mm-hmm. everyone's doing fine.
Yeah.
Thank God for podcasting and stuff like that. We're all doing fine, thankfully. But, and the landscape changed. Like everything's like fucking, like nobody goes to at 11 o'clock to E anymore or specific times to watch stuff. So all that's different. All of it changed. Everything changed. So I think Heather too, we were just like, oh shit, what now? You mm-hmm. know, nobody was knocking on our door. Cause then we got into a weird area where it was just like, and I'll just be perfectly honest with you guys. It, you know, LA became a place where we need more Asian people mm-hmm. and black people and, you know, whatever. And all well and good, but that we hit that era.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you know, for whatever reason, if somebody, the Oscars, I think, had that year, it was all white people, and somebody was, there's not enough black people. And then, of course, the overcorrection happened, or undercorrection, depending upon how you look at it. You know, we need more of this, more of that, mm-hmm. more trans writers, this, more women in the mm-hmm. writer's room, and all that. Now, everybody, good, enjoy it, get out there, mm-hmm. have fun. So, but for old whiteys like me, it was over. Like, yeah. Fuck that. You had your fun. Congratulations on your last 100 years of ruling television. You're done now.
Done. Out.
Poop. Fine. Good enough. Uh-huh. Get it. Enjoy it. Everybody go on. So Heather started doing her podcast. This is way back. So it's like in a weird little studio somewhere. Strangely enough, this is just an aside. My wife, we had not started dating yet, but Heather was in this little small building somewhere in like Beverly Hills, kind of.
Okay.
Where she first started doing Juicy Scoop. I was her first guest, and I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like a real studio, and you know, we didn't know much about podcasting, either one of us. We were like, oh, this is all one. She wound up having a weird thing with the guy. He was like a pervert, and it's a whole, he died, I think, a couple of months ago. Oh, fucking wild, but that's a story for another day. But anyway, I started going on a couple of dates with my wife at the time. She was working early on in her Netflix days.
Mm-hmm.
And show you how long ago this was. Netflix was in the same building. That's how small Netflix was at this point. So I'm like, wait, I think I'm in the same building. I think I'm shooting this podcast in the same building you're in. She's like, yeah, I'm in the same building. Mm-hmm. And this is not a 25-story. This is like a little apartment building almost, kind of. It was weird. Anyway, that's just a weird coincidence.
Aside.
So anyway, I start doing Heather's podcast. And Heather's podcast starts getting a little heat because she was doing like, you know, housewives stuff. And she was kind of the first one to do that kind of shit, like housewives. And there's a ton of those podcasts now. But at the time, she was like the first one to be doing like Juicy Scoop about like reality TV. And people took to it. And whatever, and I was doing it, and it looked like, all right, I was getting some heat from that. And I was fucking out of the game, Alex. I mean, I was going to do, like, stand-up gigs at Coots in Alaska. Yeah. I mean, that's there was that time where I was taking anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sad situation. And, you know, half-filled or less, you know, in the case of Coots.
Yeah.
I think there was 9 people there. And then until the trans guy came over to
the drag show
like spilled into my show. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you listen, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I was like, let's start. I finally called this guy. I was doing a show for him who asked me to do a podcast. It's been about a year now since he asked me. And I was like, I think I'm ready to come and do a podcast over at Comedy Pop-Up, his studio. I didn't know what it was. I thought this guy had a legitimate studio and was running a legitimate company. I didn't, you know, who knew? He seemed like he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So he tells me, okay, well, anytime you're ready. And he set up everything. Like, I didn't know how to set up like a podcast.
Mm-hmm. RSS feeds.
All this shit. Like, I still don't know what it is.
All the stuff I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, so I'll get your RSS feed and blah, blah, and blue, blue. And I was like, okay, fine. So I drive down to a studio in Koreatown. Now, I've been in Los Angeles a long time. This is an area of L.A. I've never even really been to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right. And I park my car and walk into what looks to be, I don't know, I couldn't even really find it. The door is hard to find. There's like
none of the signs are in English. None of the signs are in English.
Yeah, so it's like it's Koreatown.
Yeah. He put like a sticker on the window.
There's a guy next to us selling old golf clubs and whatever else. And then like a hair salon or whatever in between. And I walk in and there's Alex. And the guy, like he had told, he's like, yeah, we got a guy who's going to do your soundboard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what I'm going to do. I had this grand plan. I'm fucking such a genius. I'm calling it cover to cover. I'm going to go from the cover of the New York Post to the cover. You know, I'm going to start on page 1 of the New York Post. This was the plan.
Because
I used to be able to get it, like the actual physical newspaper. I used to be able to get it at 7-Eleven by my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those days are gone. But I would start on page 1 and go through it, like just kind of almost like Howard Stern used to kind of do that with the news. Him and Robin used to do kind of that.
You could literally hear the pages turning.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be funny. But then it turned out that like that it leaned too New York-y. And so we kind of, so anyway, I sit down with Alex and we start kind of like, I don't know. The guy was just like, don't, I don't know, he was giving me tips on podcasting. You know, he's like, don't talk to the sound guy or, and I don't know if he told you not to talk to me or something.
No, but I got that vibe.
Yeah, but you weren't talking too much. And I was like, I said something along the lines of, you could talk, like we can chat. But, and you had no idea. You're like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, yeah, I don't think you knew Chelsea lately or anything or could care less.
I've been in town for like a year.
And so we had a little bit of a banter back and forth about it, whatever we were talking about. And then that was it. Then I was like, okay, that's it. And we put it up on, I guess, Apple Podcast and hope for the best. You know, who the fuck knew? And then I, you know, a couple of reviews later, everyone hated Alex and, you want me to go read them? I'll read them.
I believe you. I know.
So anyway, so that's kind of what it was. And then it was a kind of a far drive for us to get down there, but we'd go down. We'd only do it once a week and we'd get there and we'd do it. And, you know, not knowing, should we have guests? Should we not have guests? Are we doing it? Should we have video? Should we not have video? As a matter of fact, somebody was after one of my shows in Dallas this weekend. You know, some people just don't even know who I am. They just go to the comedy club. So afterwards, they're like, you're so funny. How, what, where can I find other stuff? And I was like, well, I have a podcast. And they write, as I'm talking to them, they're looking it up on the phone. And the first thing that pops up is old YouTube clips.
Yeah.
From, you know, shitty YouTube clips of like the first days of the podcast. And I was like, well, that's certainly not what, go to the actual, the Apple podcast and find it there, Spotify, wherever you get, that's what you want to get.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that's how it all began. And then we started to like get some heat and we started Patreon and we got blah, blah, and we had, and we started to get fans who liked the show and like what we do. And I understand that it's not for everybody. And that's the way we enjoy it. You know, we don't want everybody. I don't. And when I say that, I'm not kidding. I don't want the biggest audience in the world because I don't need, Alex was telling me about Brendan Schaub, you know, these guys, Brendan Schaub's like some UFC fighter, half-ass comedian, whatever. He's a nice enough guy. I met him. I did Lights Out with David Spade with him a couple times, and he's a nice guy. I think. I don't know, but he was nice to me for the 10 minutes I met him. Yeah. So that's all I can tell you about him. But, you know, he's one of these dudes who, like, started comedy because why not?
Yeah.
You know, he's a handsome guy, and he's going to get up there and go, boom, boom, pee-pee, and you fucking idiots will buy tickets. That's your, like, once again, what I've been saying since the beginning of this podcast, you people created these people, you know? I can't believe this Chris D'Elia is doing comedy. Hey, you did it. You did it. You're the ones who buy tickets and sell out of his theaters. Not me. And not some of the friends. You did it.
Yep.
You did Brendan Schaub. So anyway, Alex was telling me a couple of days ago about Brendan Schaub. He's like, I went down a rabbit hole and about Brendan, because we talk about our this Reddit page, you know, this snark Reddit page. And Alex like, oh, you should see real Reddit pages. Like, you think Heather gets hate. There's like, she hate for Brendan, hate for Joe Rogan.
Oh,
like, Joe Rogan's, there's snark pages or whatever you call them about him. Like, fuck, there's 10,000 comments about hating him and whatever. And so, and that's because they have big audiences.
Yeah.
So I don't need it. I don't want snark pages, you know. So I'm good with the size of the audience we have, which is considerable, thank God. And but they all seem to like me, you know, 98%.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that. I don't need to have double the size of the audience we have now and have a bunch of people
50% of them
hating.
Hate your guts. Yeah. They listen for your downfall.
Exactly. So fuck that. So we're good with where we're at and happy we make a living at it. And that's it. So to kill time, that's what I wanted. How did I do on the origin stories of this podcast? And then we moved, you know, he was kind of wrapping it up over there, over at his, it never really took off like he was expecting. I don't know how you'd make money in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I was one of the only successful podcasts that had come from it. And I'm not saying that to be a dick. It's just true.
Yeah.
And you know, there was nice people working over there. Paul Antonio was a guy and we had fun with it. But then we left there, and I feel like we really kind of found our way when we kind of started doing it at my old house in the garage. And we started getting ads and things like that. And I had a lot of help from Tracy Carnazzo, who's a comedian who has a successful podcast of her own. And she early on kind of guided me down that road, Patreon and ads. I didn't know how to do any of that.
You know how to monetize.
I didn't know how to monetize.
Yeah.
And she was like, Tracy had gone on the road with me a little bit, and she's great. I love her. I haven't seen her in a while, but anyway, she had a successful podcast and still does. And anyway, she was just like, here's how she actually hooked me up with the ad company when we had those early ads. We weren't really making any money on them, but it was nice enough for them. It was a couple of bucks. Yeah. Anything back it's then.
10
was,
ads for the price of one.
Right. Right. So, and then of course she was like, well, you got to do Patreon too. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to do Patreon right off the bat because we didn't want to make it look like it was a money grab, but now it is. So anyway, we're like a year or two in, we started Patreon.
I get,
People came over and then, people liked it, and it's now we have to do shit like this because we have to do so many fucking episodes that I got to talk about shit I've talked about 10,000 times already. The origin story of this podcast. And of course we talk about Alex and his stroke and all that. We're not going to go down that road. We're just giving you the nuts and bolts of how it began. Okay.
If you're new, get Patreon. If you want to hear the rest of the story.
You want to hear where Alex had a stroke. He was dying. And I rescued him from the lifestyle that he now has is unbelievable. And I could have probably should have. Mm-hmm. Many people say you should have fired him a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now it's too far. It's too late.
But you have an eye for talent. You could see it on the horizon.
I'm still looking. It's just too late now. Now we're fuck it. We got posters.
Now
we're,
I have
with
the,
both of us
I have
on
the passwords
poster.
To everything.
Yeah, actually, we're fucked. So, here we are. Anyway, it's fun. We're enjoying it. Thank the Lord for it. That's basically what I wanted to say because I honestly. Like, I'm making a pretty good living at this, crazily enough. My wife is like, God, thank God that we're in a nice house. Things are going well. My wife's doing well. I'm doing well. And thank you. You're doing well. Everybody's, thank God. And we have this nice garage that we do it out of and all that shit. And mostly to you guys who keep listening and like us and come to our live shows and all that shit. So we thank you for that. This is all me, by the way. This is a long way for me to go to apologize for a Tuesday's episode where I just screamed at all the listeners and say, what did I say? I believe I said I was going to burn the whole thing down. Alex, I hadn't gotten enough sleep.
Yeah.
And I today I'm in a much better mood. I was affected, I told you, by baby reindeer.
Yeah.
I believe the show affected me deeply for one day. I could scrub this shit away from me pretty quickly, but it was fresh in my mind watching all the gross things that were happening in baby reindeer. So I came out on Tuesday's episode. I was affected, but I'm not. I slept well, and baby reindeer's gone from my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm happy again, for another 10 minutes until until I get one comment about, actually, Chris, here's what you need to know about blah, blah, blah. So, once I get one of those, then I'll be angry again and I'll start screaming at you. But for right now, people, just enjoy it. Enjoy my good mood from my, what are they called? Ollie's?
Ollie gummies.
My Ollie gummies. Good mood gummies. It's a bunch of, what's the thing that gives me the good mood? It's something. I forgot what it was, but that's what's in it. Oh, saffron.
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 Okay.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah.
That's what it says it consists of.
Okay.
Worms. They're worms. Mm-hmm. Gummy worms with sugar on them. And I love them.
Nothing puts me in a
good mood.
I don't
know if they're working. Like, yeah. I don't know.
But it's candy for breakfast. That's what puts you in a good mood.
What is a good mood, though? I'm in a good mood, sometimes. But I find at this age... And this, I've seen it all. What is a good moods were different. Back when I was 24, good moods was drinking in the afternoon with my friends on Melrose.
Yeah.
That was a good mood. Mm-hmm. But now that's not anymore.
Yeah.
So now good moods are if they refill my iced tea at the at this Chinese restaurant I go to down here. Mm-hmm. She's got a $10 lunch special.
Nice.
You've seen the billboard?
I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you'd like it. It's not. I don't think it's up your alley.
Okay.
It's just me and a bunch of old people sitting in a dark room in the back, and they have like regular TV on, mm-hmm. so they'll have like a you know whatever talk shows on in the afternoon. Tamron Hall.
Yeah. Okay. The doctors. Is that still on? Is the doctors?
No, but you're exactly right. It's like the doctor. So I'm sitting there eating my comes with everything else.
Oh yeah.
Comes with a super salad, your choice.
Okay.
Okay, then your main course, drink, and a guy brings like crispy noodle. I mean, this shit, $10.
Not bad.
So I'll sit there with the oldies and watch a Tamron Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And, now that's what puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
I don't need the old time fun or whatever I used to put me in a good mood. So, you know, when I take an Ollie, it says this is going to put you in a good mood. How the fuck do you know it's going to put me in a good mood?
Yeah.
This just because it's a little saffron.
A little B12 in there. Yeah.
I read one article about how AI is going to take over everything.
Mm-hmm.
That saffron gets fucking sapped pretty quickly.
Yeah.
When I see, you know, people sleeping on the street mm-hmm. right by my house.
Yeah.
I don't mean sleeping on the street like I'm going to be that person who's going to save the world. I just want them to move a couple of blocks down.
Yeah. You just don't want them in front of the house I just bought.
Right. So anyway, there you have it, everybody. We're going to make this a short episode because it's spring break for my daughter and we have to go because she told me she wants to go to the Grove.
Mm-hmm.
She says she saw a vacuum cleaner somewhere. She saw a toy that vacuums up bugs. I don't know where she comes up with this shit.
Okay.
I don't know if she dreams it, if this is a real thing. She said there's a toy that vacuums up bugs, and then the bugs live. And she might be right. And then, like, the bugs go into a little...
The bug vacuum? Is this it?
That's Walmart.
You can get it at Walmart.
This is it, the bug vacuum. And she goes, yeah, and then the bugs live in the vacuum. She's right. Oh, my God, you got it. The real vacuum sucks up live bugs. Oh, it's got 56 reviews. Let's read them. Yeah, and they're not good. Oh, there's one star. Let's see what this guy says. Didn't vacuum, no suction. Well, it's not a vacuum, you idiot. It's for kids. Most people say super cute, fun for the kids. This is good. This is what I want to read. This is also an adult toy. He says, toy vacuum bug catcher does indeed suck up bugs. The vacuum has enough suction for bugs since they are very lightweight. Oh, he's telling us about, thanks for telling us about bugs.
Thank you.
I was surprised to find it worked very well on small spiders. The magnifying glass is not very powerful. My grandkids loved it. Cute idea. Bug vacuum. I love a 4-star review. There's a lot of 4-stars. I love a 4-star review. It's just like either 5 or 1. Mm-hmm. I know I've said this before, and I feel like some comedians do this bit, but it's either 5 or 1.
Yeah.
5, I love it. 1, I hate it. We don't need, it's okay. We don't need that review. Mm.
Do you think the world was, the internet was better when it was thumbs up and thumbs down?
Yes.
It's pretty easy.
Siskel and Ebert. Yeah. Siskel and Ebert. They had it best.
They figured it out.
This guy's 3 stars. He said it works good on little bugs, but big bugs, it has trouble mm-hmm. sucking them up. Well, boy, my daughter was right.
Yeah.
I thought she was fucking losing her mind.
She was losing her mind.
There really is a bug vacuum.
Well, there you go.
So that's, I got to go buy that today. So we have to cut this short because I got to go buy the bug vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the second episode we've talked about vacuums because I love vacuums, everybody.
You're in a vacuum
you should know that about me. Yeah. You probably don't know that about me, but I love vacuums. So now we got to get the bug vacuum. That's today's job on spring break. You got to find shit to do, Alex, mm-hmm. with these kids. You can't just leave them in front of the TV all day.
Mm-hmm.
Although she's been in front of the TV for about 3 hours now because we've done 5 episodes.
Yeah.
So we got to go, people, because I got to go buy a bug vacuum, and we thought we'd give you a little bit of fun intro, and more. We have more to come. We're over on Patreon. We're doing the origin stories of Alex and myself,
mm-hmm.
how it began for the both of us in Los Angeles separately, how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
So fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't this, and then from here on, then we'll quit after this, like forever.
We'll tell people how it got started.
We love you, everybody. Thanks for listening to Cover to Cover. Come on up. We have so much more to talk about. There's a story about Glenn Powell mm-hmm. and Sydney Sweeney, but I feel like I've been talking way too much about Sydney Sweeney. People are like, get over it.
Yeah.
But they just announced today that they did lean in with this, that a romantic comedy, mm-hmm. Anyone But You.
Mm-hmm.
They said, yeah, of course, we knew that the fake relationship talk was going to get people to go to the movie.
Yeah.
So we leaned into it. It was a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'm glad they were honest about it. Because I always say on this podcast, I'm like, I feel like this one's a little publicist driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought the Kylie and Chalamet one was like, well, he's got a movie coming out.
Yeah.
You know, he's Wonka's coming out. So all of a sudden, you got to get Chalamet out there.
Yeah.
Sell a couple of Wonka tickets. Who better than to put him with one of the Jenners or Kardashians? Because they're gonna get you eyes on you, no mm-hmm. matter who you are.
They sell.
So, you know, a lot of these things are publicist driven. I always thought. I actually thought, you know, Travis and Taylor mm-hmm. were publicist driven because. I don't know why she had something, he had something,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like it's real. I don't know. Maybe okay. it is. Maybe it's not.
We all want to believe.
But at this point, it looks real. So there you go, everybody. Enough is enough out of me. Let's play something and get out of here. This is Thursday's episode. Enjoy your Thursday. We're coming back with more this weekend and on and on. I'm heading to Myrtle Beach, and there'll be so much material mm-hmm. coming from a week with my parents.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be complete telling them the origin of the podcast.
That's right. Oh my God, I forgot. This was an early
Gordon Lightfoot.
This is our boy.
This is probably our fourth or fifth episode. We started that.
I know. We started that, which I thought was going to be it actually turned out to be the reason why we started playing music.
Wasn't the first one was him and Wet Ass Pussy? Was that right? Was it WAP?
No,
or?
It wasn't WAP yet. No, WAP was later. It was, I think it was Shake It Like a Soul Shaker. Shake It Like a Soul Shaker. It was a song that it was a bit that I used to do in my stand-up act where I was just like, yeah, it's real easy to get laid to Shake It Like a Soul Shaker, but try getting laid to when I was growing, you know, one of those hacky bits.
Uh-huh.
Like to Edmund Fitzgerald, about a boat crash where everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be fun to compare the two.
Today's hits to yesterday's hits.
Like, and I'm still fascinated by the fact that this was a chart hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously, it's Gordon Lightfoot just reading from the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, he's like read a story about the Edmund Fitzgerald and just, it doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah, you're
he's
right.
He's just kind of talking.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anyway, but we love him. We love Gordon Lightfoot. Great song. Had the 45. We got to go, everybody. All right. We love you. And we're coming to plenty more episodes. Patreon. I'm coming live to a lot of cities, frangiola.fun. We have a bunch coming in September, October, November, December. What are we in, 2024?
Yeah.
We're ending 2024 strong.
Strong.
Coming back to the East Coast, Long Island, New York City, Jersey, Albany,
Chicago,
the Bay Area, Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, coming there, and on and on and on. So we got a ton coming, frangiola.fun. Has a lot. Bye-bye.